Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Wynne Sheltimer, and our guest this week, poet Anne-Marie Burris. How long is it, Anne-Marie, since you started writing poetry? Did you write your first winning poem in grade 3 or something?
Yes, I would say I spent a lot of time on art and writing in school. But something in high school just kills that. I don't know what it is. And, you know, whether it's one's own teenage self or whether it's the actual education system, I don't know. So I put it all aside for quite a while. And I probably started writing again, I would say, at least 20 years ago. Actually wrote for a long time, you know, just for myself, really. And was, you know, far too embarrassed to share it.
So you've been a member, though, of the Coburg Poetry Workshop for some years. What does the organization provide for its members, and what does it contribute to the community?
I would say that in these parts, the Coburg Poetry Workshop is and has for 20 years been ensuring that every month is Poetry Month. The argument is that poetry is nothing if it is not shared. And so the Coburg Poetry Workshop provides venues for sharing poetry through its third Thursday reading series, which is open to all. And they have monthly workshops open to members that include assigned writing topics and small group readings. And I personally found the writing assignments to be an excellent way to get work done and to write about things that you might not have considered yourself. The Coburg Poetry Workshop has a page on Facebook at Coburg Poetry, and prospective members can attend two workshops on trial.
Coburg is an active poetry town. So do you join in other community celebrations of poetry yourself? Poetry Present, for example, or the Earth Day celebrations?
Yes, Coburg is an active poetry town, surprisingly so. And indeed, I really think it applies to the whole of Northumberland County. I have contributed to our current Poet Laureate's Poetry Present series, which sends out a poem a week to subscribers. And I've had poems published in the Tribune, which is one of the few actual newspapers left in the county, run out of Warkworth. Lately, though, I have been spending more time on visual arts, on collage and photography as setting for my poems, and I have not really found, you know, a method for sharing that art yet.
Tell us about your new website. It is beautiful. And firstly, what's the address and what can people find there?
Thank you. My website is miaburrus.com, miaburrus.com. I've fashioned it as a museum with a gallery and a reading room and a behind-the-scenes studio. I'm as interested in visual art and, in fact, the actual act of creation itself as I am in writing. So I've tried to bring them all together under the museum roof. I often combine images and poetry, mostly in haiga, which traditionally were the Japanese brush paintings that accompanied haiku, but nowadays are photographs. And I also like to work with found text in photographs, and can spend hours anagramming the letters into words, the words into poems, and then photoshopping them for more hours.
That's another surprising thing about your website. You have a little museum there, and it's a museum of typewriters. Why?
Those typewriters are actually also settings for my poems. Each typewriter has a poem, typed, of course, on vintage letterhead. And they came from my parents' respective houses. I've always been proud to be called a Luddite, and I frankly admire well-designed and well-manufactured things, and that's what the typewriters are.
You write many different types of poetry, Anne-Marie. How do you decide on the form you'll use for a particular poem? Does it emerge as you're writing it?
I tend to write a lot of notes before a poem emerges. I keep a personal journal and have for decades. And every now and then I reread my journals and I cull them for what I call gems, gems to polish. I also write as a meditative exercise after Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way or Natalie Goldberg's Writing Down the Bones. And I cull those pages as well after a while. I actually find it easier sometimes to work with a particular poetic form, and that's often how the poems take shape. Sometimes, of course, the poem just walks in without knocking. It just depends on the day. And as I mentioned before, the Coburg Poetry Workshop writing assignments were an excellent impetus to try different forms or to write on different topics. And there's something about having a deadline, of course, that gets things written. And so trying to create something for the next month's meeting meant a lot of time just spent sitting down and, you know, picking and choosing phrases and seeing what they work out to be. It's a very, it's not a word I love, but it's an organic process.
So after you've met one of those deadlines, do you go over your poem again later and write another version like you did with, you were saying about your first poem that you seem to have spent nearly 20 years on that one?
It's true with some. Some I can't leave alone for whatever reason. And some I might fool with for a while and then I won't touch. And some will just, usually shorter ones, will just get written down. And I find them not needing to be worked on at all. It's either because I have nothing else to say or I think I've said just enough. I don't write really long poems. I mean, I don't go on and on. I try to make them small and intense, yet beautiful.
Please read us some more poetry then.
This poem was actually inspired by the fact that I had the new in 1983, Oxford Book of Canadian Verse. And in it are not one, not two, but three poems with the title Bushed. And I thought it was time perhaps for an urban and a female interpretation of what seems to be a very Canadian psychological space. So this one is called Boxed. Locked in the windowless bathroom, she listened to water singing the pipes, a soothing refuge from uncalled for noise, the bang of a door, or maybe the clang of a balcony rail. Endlessly blend sounds to dull sonic gray, the incomprehensible talk smoothed out with thrumming wheels, humming fridges, whiny, grinding air conditioners, distant trail wail, a siren song, tires flick flack on the tracks. Not so long since, she counted the clicks that marked the ascent of the lift, the barely perceptible decibel shift, as it rose to and then past her floor. With her back to the door, she prayed to the gray. Oh, dust hazy window, show me soft shades of concrete, shopping mall walls, weathered woodsheds, apartment towers, drywall and dumpsters, old folks lost in their coats, blue beaming TVs, the blank evening sky. How long has it been she's avoided the eyes, looked away from the girl at the cash, the stranger next door, the cabbie no-faced in the rearview mirror, and busied herself in her bottomless bag. And always the eyes, every day, pricks of light, shards of glass, they mask an abyss, to look in them and have them look deep into mine I don't miss. How long has it been since you last heard her song? Now nothing comes singing into her heart.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
This is an assignment from the Coburg Poetry Workshop. And we were not only assigned homework, but we decided to break with tradition and hold a debate on the resolution that Leonard Cohen should have won the Nobel Prize for Literature, not Bob Dylan. We were all asked to celebrate or not Bob Dylan's winning of the Nobel Prize. So this is a toast for Bob. Without strumming or beat, Bob, we salute your Churchillian feet, joining lights like Neruda and Sully Prudhomme. And you're still with us, not like our dearly departed L. Cohen. For him, no leopard skin pillbox hat, it's too cold for that. And besides, he favored fedoras, you know, and suits with his heart on his sleeve. Yeah, we still grieve. But the thought is our great-great-grandkids will still be picking and singing your songs, though by then you might only be known as Anon, and culture will no longer be counter, war will be virtual, and social unrest will mean Facebook is down. Those analog acoustical days, they're already long gone. Our town hall bell tolls for thee. You're the 1% now with your blasting cash purse from Nobel. We're the 99, don't you know? Our group only costs $20 to join. But of course, the real dues are paid at our desks, aren't they, Bob? Pen to paper, maybe guitar pick in hand, the boozy muse getting a curse. We will raise a glass any day to folks who can live by their verse.
Thank you, Anne-Marie, for coming in and talking about poetry, your life as a poet, and your poems. We really enjoyed that. So to connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, wordonthehills.com, where all our broadcasts are archived. We love to hear from you and welcome your comments on our programs. Thanks for tuning into the show. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.